Because we completed the Gemara that deals with the opening issues in the Mishnah. Shnei Ishachas with Shnei Nashim, Ishachas with Shnei Anashim, the concept of Shomrim. And just to review, what we saw is that an Ish Kasher can serve as a Shomer, which is why two men and a woman is fine. We also saw Lehalacha that although just an ordinary Isha Kshera does not, the addition of an ordinary Isha Kshera to a situation does not provide sufficient, certainly will increase the sense of inhibition, but not enough to render it mutter. But if she is a woman with whom I have no Isra Yichud, then she can serve as a Shomeres for me and another woman. So for me to be alone, for a man to be alone with Shtei Nashim Kshayrus is not permitted, but for a man to be alone with his grandmother and another woman, that since he has no Yisra Yichud with his grandmother, so no Yisra Yichud with the other woman, that's how we assume the halacha. And moreover, even when you have valid Shomrim, an additional Ish Kasher, and a woman with whom I have no Yisra Yichud, if you're Baderech, or more likely if you're Balayla, when people are either falling asleep or actually are asleep, so then one shomer does not suffice. You need to have two. Two sleeping shomerim are like one awake shomer. A sleeping shomer is half a shomer. The one exception to that is the one's wife. That's what the Mishnah says. The ishto imo is matri even if she's asleep. Yashin imon bepundiki. Good. And the Mishnah also mentioned, just in terms of completing the recap where we are so far, then we're going to move forward. One more din that came up in the Mishnah was that even in a one-on-one situation, which we said, according to most, if not all, Rishonim, is an Easter Daraisa, even a one-on-one situation, there are relatives with whom one has no Isra Yichud. The Mishnah mentions a son and a mother, or a father and a daughter. From elsewhere, the Gemara says, the husband and wife when she is in Nida, is generally no Isra Yichud. And we saw Gemara raises the possibility in Pe'alfam and Beis that between brother and sister is also no Isra Yichud. Beishmol pointed out that some Rishonim seem to think it's a machlokas Amoraim, because the Rosh quotes that Heter, it's a Gemara, Rav Yehuda. The Rambam does not. He seems to understand that the other Amoraim disagree, and it seems like the machlokas are Rishonim had a paskin on that machlokas Amoraim. Ashkenazim certainly paskin lahakel like Rav Yehuda. Yichud is mutter on a yichud on a short term basis is mutter with a sister, with a between parents and children, or grandparents and grandchildren, that's mutter even on a long term basis. Okay, so that's our recap. And now we're going to move into other dinim that the Gemara raises is not as directly rooted in the Mishnah. There's some small ones, then there are some big ones. Let's take a look. Here on Pei Aleph, Amen Aleph. Near the hay in the parentheses, or the bays of the Amish B'nai Mitzvah. Amar Rav. Here are a couple of dinim that seem like side points, but they do speak, Shalom Aleichem, they do speak, although they're detailed dinim, they speak to the larger picture of appreciating what it is the Yichud is all about. So here we are again, over here, near the base of the Emish B'nai Mitzvah, Pei Aleph, Amar Aleph, Amar Rav. So Rav says as follows, Malkin al Yichud ve'ein Osrin al Yichud. You give Malkus, if a couple violates Yichud, man and woman violate Yichud, so that they did not Avera, that's a Chet, regardless of what it may lead to, the act of Yichud itself is a violation of a din, either Daraisa Drabbanan, so that calls for a punishment, the punishment of Malkus. Ve'ein Osrin al Yichud. We would not create an, when ain't also on Yichud, Yichud is Aser, we would not create an Isra based on Yichud. Rashi explains, take a look. Malkin al Yichud Malkus Marbus, that's Malkus Drabbanan. Why is it only Malkus Drabbanan? There's sometimes a mistaken jump that some make to say whenever you see that the ownership is Drabbanan to assume that Vera is Drabbanan. So some might say, oh, you see, Malkus Drabbanan, Yichud is only Asur Drabbanan. That's probably an error, and that's something that some of our Achronim point out in other contexts, that there are plenty of situations where the violation may have been a violation of Daraisa, but the Onish is Drabbanan, and the reason is because Malkus, when who remembers from learning Masechus Malkus, Malchus appears in the Torah as an onesh. That's a part that Psukim Pashki say say. But when does Malchus Daraisa apply? Remember? When it's a lav? Anything else? Sheish b'maisa, no mises beizdin. Nandita glasa. Okay, can't mises beizdin, good? Tu'edim asra, fantastic. So, let's come back to what Noam said. The rest of you were talking about the sort of aveira that calls for the onesh. So yichud is not, for starters, yichud is perhaps yesh b'maisa. More or less. I mean, you walk into a room, maybe that qualifies ma'isa, but nefi na alav. Alav means not only that's an iser, conceptually, something you cannot do, that's something that you need to do, but alav, a lo taseh, means it's written in the Torah as a lo taseh. The Torah says, do not do X, Y, and Z. We spoke earlier in the year about the concept of an iser aseh. The Torah might phrase something, there might be something you're forbidden to do, but the way it appears in the Chumash is without the word no. Here's an example of that. Yichud is something you're forbidden to do, but the Torah doesn't say loti sasru yachad. It's an implication. Right? We saw that pasuk on Peyam Beis was b'seisa, right? Ben imcha b'seisa, said that implied one can be b'seisa with one's mother, and by implication, but not with some other woman who's a different erva. So it is aser to do. It is an iser, and it's an iser daraisa, but it's not an iser daraisa that's presented, that's phrased in the Chumash as a lo taseh. It's not a lav. The Torah doesn't say don't do it. The Torah presents it in a different way. So that's why there's no malchus daraisa for this, but it is an iser which carries with it malchus rabbanim. Malchus mardin. What do you mean, ein osun ala yichud? Eishas, ein osun eishas ish, al baila machmas yichud. A married woman who violated yichud with some other man is not going to be forbidden to return to her husband. What's that all about? That's because a niyuf, the iser of adultery, of eshes ish, is an aver which carries with it unique consequences. In addition to the punishment when there's edim hasra, potentially a capital punishment, the mises based in, when even if there was no hasra in advance, so we can't give a... We can't give Mises Bezin, but if Bezin able to determine through Edim that an act of Niyuf occurred, and a married woman had an affair with another man, she was Mizana with another man, so post facto, that means that she's no longer, that's the good Mishnayos and Gemara's beginning of Masechta Sota, Asur Labal v'Asur Labal. Based on Sukkim Nechumash, you see that she's no longer permitted to remain with her husband, nor is she permitted to that marriage is over. And the Beis Din is going to insist the husband divorce his wife if we have valid proof that adultery occurred. And she's not permitted to marry the boyfriend. She's a surah labal, she's a surah to the husband, and a surah laboel, the man with whom she had bia. So that's in a case of sota vada. Edim walk in and discover her in the act. So we say Asur Labal, Asur Laboel. That's a case of Eshes Isha Zinsa, Sota Vadai, where we know would determine to be the case. Or the Torah has in Parshas Naso the Sotas Safek. That's the more well-known Parsha of Sota, is where we don't know whether or not she violated Eshes Ish, but there's reason to believe, there's strong likelihood, there's Ragalayim Ladavar. That's the Gemara's idiom. The matter has feet. In other words, it's not stam, maybe it happened. There's real evidence that indicates, not sure, but there's real evidence that indicates a strong likelihood that niyuf occurred. So there's a strong likelihood that niyuf occurred, and that's what we call a sotas safek. It's your typical sota in Chumash. That's what Masechta Sota is about. And that's the case where the Torah promises a nes. As Ramban points out, the only time when halacha hinges on a nes, the only time when the Torah promises a nes in advance, and that is if she goes through the whole ordeal of the coming to the Beis HaMikdash and swearing the shvuos that the Torah speaks about and drinking the mesota, that water that's a combination of well water, spring water, and the soil of the azara and the erasure of the psukim that the kohen has to erase into the water, the way the Torah describes Parshas Naso. She goes through, if she drinks that, the Torah promises that if she violates niyuf, and then she's going to expand and explode. And if she didn't, then she will remain healthy. And that's the only case where Rabban points out where halacha depends on an ace. Because even though until she drinks the mesota, she's forbidden to return to her husband. If she drinks the mesota, nothing happens. The fact that there was no nace, and not that she didn't miraculously explode, is sufficient proof that, no niyuf occurred, and she is permitted to return to her husband. So what makes a sotas suffix? So the Gemara just told us, yichud alone doesn't do it. The Mishnah tells us the beginning of Masechta Sota, it's a combination of two things. It's the second one is stira. Stira in the sense of to be besesa, to be alone with another, to violate yichud alone with another man. But that's number two. Number one is kinyan. There has to be, the husband has to, there's a yichud. This married woman is misyachez with another man after, in the context of her husband already having told her, we passing in front of two edim, I think there's some hanky-panky going on between you and him, I don't want you to be alone with him. So if you have kinoi, that sort of warning in front of edim, and then after that, she does go ahead and violate yichud with that man. So the combination of those two elements, the yichud preceded by a kinoi, that's already enough to say, we don't know for sure. Could be they were just alone and they did not touch each other, or they touched each other but there was no actual masabiyah. Could be she's not ashes and so. But the combination of those two factors together already creates enough of a suffix that we're going to say she's not permitted, husband and wife are not permitted to each other, and even if the husband divorces her, she's not permitted to this other man unless she can successfully pass a mesota test. By the way, halacha lamaisa, this does appear in Shulchan Aruch. It does. Unfortunately, adultery happens. Sometimes even on people who are ostensibly Shomer Mitzvahs. And the din of Sota does apply. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash. We don't have access to Mesota. So what that means practically, the Gemara points out, is that if you have Kinoi and Stira, then it's all over. Because now you have a Suffolk and an unresolvable Suffolk, unless you'll manage to find Edom who can testify that nothing happened. But we have no mesota, so she remains a sota safek, asur labal, asur labal, and atchi yavo mashiach, atchi yibana beis hamikdash. So do we have a din of sota vadai? And that's, the edim determined that there was an act of znos, and she's for sure asur labal, asur labal. If a sota safek, that you have kino and stira. And then you have number three, which is mir yichud. If all that happened was yichud, so Gemara says it's an aveira. It's not there. Why? Because something might have happened. There's enough of a possibility. You were in a situation that where there was enough of a possibility of something happened, of something happening, that was a situation you were forbidden to enter. That was yichud. There wasn't sufficient inhibition built into the situation. There weren't other people coming in and so on and so forth. So that it was forbidden to be in that situation. L'chadchila. Again, l'chadchila doesn't mean ideally. L'chadchila means in advance. If you ask me before, am I allowed to do it? Absolutely not. You did it, you're going to get punished. That was not there to enter and stay in that situation. That malchin al yichud. But even though the yichud itself was an aveira, why? Because there's a possibility. Well, what makes it an aveira, in part at least, is the fact that there's a situation that where there's a possibility of znos, but there's not enough of a possibility that we should say post facto that we're concerned that she was Mazana and she's nation, she's suffocation, she's insa. That far we don't go. No, then again, that's what we started with a while ago. In other words, the chance of the risk of znus in a situation is the amount of risk you need to render a situation asim shem yichud is pretty minimal. We're not talking like 50%. We're talking like 5%, 2%, 3%, 1%. We already reach a certain minimal threshold that there's a risk of znus in a situation, not enough to say if it happened, we're going to assume that she's a sota safek, but enough to say you're not allowed to enter the situation if you did an avera. Malkan al yichud, the ein osrin al yichud. Yeah.
Are the malkus because of violating the avera of yichud, or because we suspect her of
the violating the avera of yichud? We would not give malkus, we can't give malkus for avera we don't know happened. We don't know whether it was nis or not. That's why they would say, ain't osrin. We wouldn't even say that she's asur and misafik to her husband. A married woman violated yichud. That was a bad thing to do. That was an avera. But if the husband thinks, husband believes his wife that nothing more untoward happened, there was no act of nis, so she did an avera, that was wrong, she has to do tshuva. But the husband and wife can continue to live together. Yeah. Good question. L'chora, both he and she. Both he and she. Yeah.
She's not a straw, though.
Correct.
They told her that.
That's a good question. They may have told her that you're not allowed to do that. But they may have knocked on the door and said, you better come out. That's Yichud. What's going on here? And like, leave us alone. But that doesn't make her... That does not create enough of a clarity. But that's not kinoi. Kinoi is where the husband says to his wife in front of Aiden, I think that you're actually being Mizana. And therefore...
In front of Aiden also?
In front of Aiden. The Gemara then adds a twist. Amar Rav Ashi, back in the Gemara, Lo Amar El B'Yichud Penuya, Avel Yichud De'eshes Ishlo. Rav Ashi says, when we say Malkin Al Yichud, that's only if she's a single woman. If a man and woman are alone, be Iser, they have Yichud be Iser, and she's single, so their Rav Ashi says, look, they did not Vera, and they deserve Malkus for that. However, Rav Ashi says, if she's married, there's no Malkus. Why? Not because it's less of an Iser Yichud of anything. It's more of an Iser Yichud, probably, for a married woman to be alone with someone who's not her husband. But he said, but we have to look at the bigger picture. Shalote motzi laz al banah. She violated Yichud. That's an Avera. She deserves an onish. What we do not want to do, however, says Rashi, is publicize the fact that this married woman violated Yichud, because what if she has a baby 9 months from now? Which could be for legitimate reasons because she's married. But if the whole world knows that she violated Yichud, then tongues will wag. People like to assume the worst. It's possible that she was Mizana with this man and that her child born 9 months from now is a Mamzer. But chances are not. And we need to protect her unborn child. Because her unborn child deserves better than that. And we have that's Shalola Hotzi Laz al Baneha. So that's what Rav Ashi says. If a married woman violates Yichud, a single woman violates Yichud, so if she didn't do anything wrong, there's no reason she should be having a child in 9 months from now. But if a married woman, and if she would, the baby wouldn't be a mamzer, because it wouldn't be the result of arayos, because she's not married. As if a single man and woman have a child together, that's a big avera. For a man and woman who are not married to each other to have a child together, to be mizana together, child, no child. And presuming she's nida as well, and that slaps on an Isser Karis, that's Gili Arayos, that's probably Arg Valyavar. But the child is not a mamzer. Child is not a mamzer, but if child is only a mamzer if he's not just the result of a Bias Isser, but the result of Gili Arayos and not nida. A Ben Hanida, let's say a couple is married and they don't keep Taras Mishpacha. And a fellow becomes a Baal Tshuva. Very sweet Jewish couple, very nice people, but they're not observant, or maybe they're somewhat observant, they never knew about the Taras Mishpacha, maybe they didn't know Taras Mishpacha, they weren't doing it right, and turns out a fellow figures out that his parents, his mother was not going to mikveh, so he is not a mamzer. He is absolutely not a mamzer. That's very, very clear. The machlokes, Tosis and Rama, whether Nida is an erva or not, but the reason why Tosis says Nida is not an erva because the Ben Anida is not a mamzer, and the Rambam says Nida is an erva, but here's an exception that to be a mamzer, it has to be the child of some other erva other than Nida, perhaps because Nida is not a question defined by relationships. Be that as it may, Ben Anida is not a mamzer, but the child of adultery is. If a married woman has a child from some other man, some man other than her husband, that child is a mamzer. So that's why Rashi says that in a situation where Eishes Ish violated the din, b'secher to the man who's not her husband, said that she did avera, and we're going to have to sit her down for a very stern talk, but we can't give her malchus because malchus will become public, and that's not fair to the child that she might have in 9 months from now. And the Gemara says, I'll take questions in a moment. Marzutra Malkiyo Machras. Marzutra would give Malkus, and he would make an announcement. He would explain, she's getting Malkus, not because she violated Znus, merely because of Yichud.
Why does
Rav Ashi not see that? So that's exactly, Parhatia, not a commonly heard of Amora. Rav Nachman, not the usual Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman of the town of Parhatia, said to Rav Ashi, Mar Nami Lil Kivalachers, why don't you do that too? He says, Ikka Jisham Bahav Lo Sham Bahav. Because there'll be people who hear about the first, don't hear about the second. Right? Whenever a newspaper publishes a retraction, right? And whenever newspaper publishes a retraction, sometimes newspapers are very good at publishing non-retractive retractions. You know, they technically made a retraction, but it wasn't really much of an apology. But even when there is a retraction, even when it's not that the libel was on page one and the retraction is, you know, squirreled away in page 30. But even if there's retractions on page one the next day, they're selective here and exact. You have people who somehow tend to hear about the Lashon Hara more than that which diffuses it. So Rashi says it's not practical. It's not practical, and that's how we paskin in Shulchan Aruch. Let's take a look. Sif Beis. We had seen the beginning of Sif Beis. Sif Alv laid out the Isser Yichud Doraisa in the situation of Erva. In the beginning of Sif Beis, based on Gemara and Avodah Zarah, we had seen when we first started Hilchos Yichud, points out that there is Midrabanan, they fill in all the gaps. Even if a woman is unmarried and not a Nida, it's still an Isser Yichud. Even between a Jew and a non-Jew, which is not Erva, it's a serious Isserbiya, but not Erva, there's still an Isser Yichud. And then the Shulchan Aruch wraps up here three lines into Sif Beis. Nimsa, what emerges? Kol misyachedim isha, she'asur liyisachedim ma. Men and women have Yichud together in a way they're forbidden to. Now, that's not the husband and wife. It's not between parents and children. If a couple are alone and they're in violation of this Yichud, ben Yisraelis, ben Kusis, regardless of whether the woman is Jewish or not, makin eshneim makas mardus, ha'ish va'isha, u'machrizin aleihem. You give them makas mardus and you make an announcement. Now, because the way the Rambam, this is quoting the Rambam, the Rambam read that the Gemara, that Marzutra's Malkiyah Machruz is all the time. Not when the woman was married. All the time. Whenever he would give Malkus V'yichud, he would always announce and explain. And we'll come back to the Rambam in a moment. But let's first finish the sentence in Shulchan Aruch, with the black letters continue. Chutz Me'eshah says, except for a married woman, if a married woman violates Yichud, Avbisha Asur Lisechedimah is certainly forbidden for a man to be alone with someone else's wife. But in Isyached in Lokin, but we're not going to give out. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of the Onesh, but Bezin is not going to give an Onesh. There's no Onesh from Bezin Shamata. We're worried that may generate a rumor and not just she violated Yichud, that she actually was having an affair, that Bezin must have known she was actually having an affair, which is not the case. And the problem with starting that rumor is that it's going to impact not only her, but impact her as yet on potential unborn children. And then the Ramah adds, "V'dafka biyaduah shnisyachedima, avhi eino ne'emenas alav, v'afil eid echad eino ne'eman." Here the Ramah goes back to the point that Noam had raised before: that if we're giving punishment for a crime, there has to be sufficient evidence that the crime occurred. So the fact if a woman comes in and says that this fellow had yichud with me, that alone is not sufficient evidence to give an onesh of malchus. Or even if you have one aid who says, I observed them having yichud, one aid is not enough for an onesh haguf. You wouldn't give malchus based on one aid. However, the Ramah adds, Mikamakam, Bimakam Shinir la Bezin, Dekal Amechish la Yisura, Sarach la Harfrishan. There are standards of evidence, and that's obviously something that's been in the general part of a conversation in general society, standards of evidence for wrongdoing, specifically for sexual wrongdoing. And you have to know that you have sufficient evidence to convict and to punish. At the same time, Darma adds, even if you don't have enough evidence to punish, you might have enough evidence for essentially an injunction order. If she complains to Bezin, and Bezin thinks that it sounds like there's merit to what she's saying, we're not sure, but Ikal HaMechash, there's reason to believe that this guy is bothering her, the Sarach LaHafrishan. So either she can apply for an injunction order, or maybe another aide comes to Bezin and says, I think the two of them are consensually hanging out inappropriately, and Bezin may order them both to remain apart. So even if we can't punish them, because we don't have sufficient certainty to give an onesh, a retrospective onish for what we think you did yesterday, we can still say we're going to make sure it doesn't happen again. We're not sure what happened yesterday, but we have enough reason to believe that something's going on that, that either she can ask for protection or Beis Din may just impose on the two of them that you need to be apart. And they can set rules, whatever the injunction order is. You have to stay X number of feet away. You can't be in the same neighborhood. Whatever Beis Din sets up that they see is reasonable, given all the specifics of the situation. Yeah. Because it's not a lav. It's an iser, but not a lav. Because it does not appear in the Torah as a do not. But the word, you never use the word lo or al or pen or hishama. Yeah, Avi.
Even according to Marzusha, is there a problem with the child? Because if you announce these malchut are for yibud, and then 9 months later,
everyone's going to make assumptions. Right. So that's a good point. So that might be part of what drove the Rambam to read it as he did. You see, Rashi, look back at the Gemara Pe'alav, Rashi says, Mar Zutri Malki al Yichud Eish Azish. Rashi understands that Mar Zutra disagreed with Ravashi. And Mar Zutra did give Malkus, but he would just make an announcement. And Ravashi said, I hear that, but I don't think it suffices. But if you look at the Vilna Gaon, you see the Aleph in brackets, since it's a Vilna Gaon, Hago Sagra, he says, by the way, the Rambam, Pirish HaRambam Dekoya Pnuya. The Rambam says Mar Zutra was never talking about a married woman. He always was machrez when he gave Malkus for Yichud. So Rav Nachman Bar Parhati was the one who said to Rashi, hey, that's such a good idea. Maybe that could solve your problem with Eish HaZish. Rav Rashi says, no, it's not going to help. It's not going to help. Yeah,
keep.
Sif Beis. He just wrapped up Sif Beis in the Shulchan Aruch. Questions?
The Gemara reads that Mar Zutra giving Malkus announcing is just for a single woman. He wouldn't do that at all for a married woman.
Correct. Mar Zutra, yeah, correct. Correct.
How does the Rambam do
that? Correct, as you just said. Snow. Correct. Panu is a single man and Panu is a single woman.
What impact can DNA testing have?
That's a great question. That's a very, very, very good question. There was a DNA testing is more recent technology. The first, an earlier biochemical test for paternity in questions of paternity questions was blood typing. Blood typing can prove paternity, but it can disprove paternity. In other words, if a woman is O and her husband is O and the baby is AB, so it's very clear that the woman's husband is not the baby's father. Right. So that would look over, if you know that she was married 9 months before, 6 to 9 months before she had a baby, so it seems pretty inescapable that the child is a mamzer. So there was a somewhat prominent posek who said a couple of decades ago that halacha cannot accept blood type because you have an agarata maseches nida that talks about what a child gets from his father, from his mother, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Gemara says that the white stuff comes from the father and the odem, the red, comes from the mother. The blood comes from the mother. So how could you prove anything about paternity from the blood type? The blood type all comes from the mother. And I believe the Chazon Ish is one of the poskim who said that is not the way we poskim shaylos. The Chazal in that Gemara were probably concerned with something much more important than biochemistry. Chazal are probably talking about, as Maral often will tell us, Chazal are talking about the spiritual concepts that are reflected by certain physical realities. Or else they were quoting the sciences of their time, like we spoke about the other week in Mishnah based on that Bryson Nidachav Beis. So we should do exactly what they did and ask our scientists. That I think it was maybe Dine Weiss who said that you can't accept blood typing. The Chazon Ish and others said that's absolutely absurd. And we do. We do accept blood typing, and in that situation, I think we would assume. I mean, these questions of Mamzerus are among those issues. There are several issues in Hilchos Ishos, She'elos Chamuros, that are handled by Gedolei Poskim. Mamzerus certainly ranks up there. But lechora, that would be a very powerful evidence to assume that the child's a mamzer, and to assume that a woman can't remain with her husband. Because if she clearly had a child from someone else, unless, now a countervailing issue is with the modern advances in reproductive technology over the last couple of decades, so you could have, and here's a fascinating shaila, and it looks like we're going to close with this. A woman has a child, a woman gives birth to a child, and the father of the child is not her husband, she's been married for years, the father of the child is not her husband, and yet the child is not a mamzer. How is that possible for the last couple of decades? Sorry? Right, so if you have artificial insemination, let's say you have in vitro IVF, in vitro fertilization, they take an egg and sperm and mix them in vitro in glass in a test tube, and then they either implant it into the genetic mother or into a surrogate mother who's going to carry the baby, or even if it's it's IUI, intrauterine insemination, where they essentially, loosely speaking, inject the sperm directly into the woman's uterus. So in those situations, there are raya's in Rishonim, there have been Peretz, who seems to say that there's no mamzeres unless there was a maisabia. So that's what's usually assumed. We try to avoid that as much as possible. And in a situation you do use donor sperm, Poskim recommend using, if the concern, if the fertility issue is the husband's sperm, so then usually you'll use a non-Jewish sperm donor, because that eliminates any problem, any suffix of mamzeres, and eliminates any suffix about yichus. Because even if there's no mamzeres, but if you had a Jewish sperm donor, not her husband, then the question is a child's father that other man? And we have to track down who he is, and his children are this child's siblings. It becomes incredibly complicated. So the ideal is to use husband's sperm, and if you can't, then you use a non-Jewish donor sperm. There's no yichas at all. Like a Jewish woman has a child from a non-Jewish man, so al pi halacha, the child does not have halachic yichas to his father. That's the way it's usually handled.